What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the All In Podcast. I'm not sure if you guys even recognize us anymore. It's been a while. But season three is underway of the All In Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Eli Cooper, and I'm joined, as always, by my guy, Mike Badzik. Welcome back, brother.
We're back. It's been a long hiatus. Kind of took a little breather in between basketball and football, but football's in full swing, so we are back.
Absolutely, man. We are glad to be back. Got a lot to talk about. First 2 weeks of the NFL in the books, so we're going to talk about all of your favorite teams, the Eagles, Steelers, Ravens, and more. We're going to get to some other things. Week three preview. We're going to talk about mostly NFL today. However, the NBA just kind of required that we talk about them today by dropping a Woj bomb on us today, right? Ben Simmons will reportedly not be coming to training camp. I think most people kind of expected that, when that news first came out that he demanded a trade. What are your thoughts, Ben Simmons? Saying he's going to take those fines. He'll take the suspensions. He's not going to play another game in a Sixers uniform. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so we kind of saw this coming. I'm not sure what other options he really had at this point. It kind of has been brewing now. Really, you could trace this back to the James Harden trade. That's really when I think it took a turn. And a pivotal turn to where it's kind of irredeemable almost, this relationship. So, he's not going to play. He said he's going to sit out. He's going to take the fines. We'll see how long that lasts. If a trade doesn't get done and he starts missing out, I think like half of his salary is due before October 1st, I think. So we'll see how that all plays out if he does end up sitting out. Because here's the problem right now. I'm not sure where the trade is. You know, he's saying he's holding out for a trade. I'm sure the Sixers would love to make a trade if they could at this point, take what they can get. I'm not sure where it is. Is it Sacramento? Is it a team like Orlando? It's hard for me to see a contender giving up assets for Ben Simmons right now. It seems like it's going to be this thing where he goes off and does his own thing somewhere, which personally, that's kind of what I want to see from Ben Simmons, is go do your own thing somewhere. You can run an offense around your skill set. You don't have to try to work with others, which is what he seems to be struggling at, especially with Joel Embiid. That did not work out at all. So it's probably going to have to be one of these teams who's rebuilding. And when you do that, you know, now we're looking at the other half of the trade, what the Sixers can get back. Well, if they're making a trade with a team that's not really a contender right now, they're not going to get pieces back to contend right now. So basically, they're just going to try to build up assets, I guess, is the play here, and try to make another move. I'm not sure what you can get. I mean, who's the best player that you can get back into Ben Simmons' deal right now? Because I don't think Damian Lillard, that ship has sailed, I think. You know, Brad Beal, I think that ship has sailed. And even like a CJ McCollum, that ship may have sailed at this point. So I'm not sure what they're getting back here.
Oh, yeah. All ships have sailed as far as the Sixers getting any kind of player who could possibly help this team actually continue to be at least as good as it is right now, right?
Yes.
That ship has sailed. He's at the point where, like, draft compensation and young players is about the best that we can get for him. You know, this reeks of, you know, the bitter girl that you already told you want to see other people, you know, trying to break up with you first, right? Kind of thing.
You've got more experience in this than I do.
Clearly. But, you know, it's pretty funny. You know, he demands a trade while the Sixers are pretty much shopping him already.
Right.
And that just tanks his trade value, right? And I think that's why a lot of people are really upset with him. Like, dude, we were already trying to trade you. Now you're, like, pulling this kind of stunt. And now there's literally no value because teams are like, well, he's not going to play for you anyway. Why would we give you anything significant for him? And the Sixers are kind of like, all right, well, we'll just make our money back in fines and, you know, not deal him. Because the thing is, we just gave Joel a Supermax extension, right? And You know, Tobias just got paid the summer before, so he's under a max. We brought back Danny Green. Like, this is not a team that's in rebuild mode. So
not at all.
Draft compensation is not really going to help us at all in any way, shape, or form. So the Sixers are kind of like, what motivation do we have to trade Ben Simmons at this point? You know, I honestly, don't get me wrong, he's a good player and he matters. But the Sixers aren't really, with a healthy Joel Embiid, aren't really that much worse without him. Right? So it's like, how, you know what I mean? It's not like we're like, hey, man, we need you to play for us or right. else we're not going to make the playoffs. He's not that kind of player for us, at least. He's not that kind of guy. And really, when it comes to the playoffs, he can't get us out the second round. So we're kind of stuck in this situation where trading Ben Simmons for someone that makes us better is really the only option that we have. Otherwise, make your money back on that huge salary that you gave him in fines, because that's essentially what he's choosing to do. I don't think he will actually hold out that long, like to where he's never going to put the Sixer uniform on again. Like, honestly, I think he actually needs to play. I think that's – if he wants to get traded, I think he actually needs to play. Like, even James Harden suited up and went out there when he had his problem with the Sixers, right? He was just, you know, very upset. But he went out there and he played and reminded everyone, like, hey, I'm still one of the best offensive players in the game. Ben Simmons needs to go out there and remind people that he's not the 0 point or 5 point player that we saw in the playoffs, you know, because he can at least fool people again until the All-Star break like he does every year. That's what I would be doing if I was Ben Simmons. That's how you get your trade value up. And increasing your trade value is how you get out of Philly. I think he's going about this the wrong way.
Well, if he wants out of Philly, he should probably play, because the taste we have in our mouth right now is exactly what you just said, 0 points in the fourth quarter. Kind of
it's him passing up that dunk. Right?
That's exactly.
That's the last memory of Ben Simmons.
You can't help but think of it. But it's like, that's also the difference. Like, you're like, when you say, you know, when you say you're not playing for a team again, well, it's harder for them to get an offer for you, a good offer for you, one that they want to accept, because teams know that you're not going to play for them again. Now, we've seen this work, right? When Anthony Davis did this with the Pelicans, they still were able to get a deal done. When Harden said this to the Rockets, even though he was playing through it, everyone knew he wanted out, they were able to get a deal done. The difference is Ben Simmons is not one of those guys. You know, he's not someone that if you're a contender – and you're looking at him and you're going, oh, that's the piece right there. If we could get, you know, if I'm the Lakers and I have LeBron, well, if I get AD, yeah, the whole trajectory changes, right? If I'm a fringe contender now and I get a Ben Simmons, well, that might just be another episode of a second round loss in Philadelphia, kind of what we see in the past couple of years. So we're looking at these contenders, you know, who could use him as a fourth piece of a team rather than a second piece of a team. And I don't know too many contenders who have assets to give away that the Sixers are going to be interested in. So it's just it's such a weird dynamic, because here you have a team who is a legitimate contender, right? I think we would still call them a legitimate contender. And I'd say with Ben Simmons, they're a legitimate contender if he can figure some things out in the playoffs, which he's probably not going to. But a team that views themselves as a contender, right? Trying to make a deal for a player who doesn't really fit.
Lost you a little bit there, Mike.
Now, I was just wrapping up that point. It's just such a weird situation where you have a guy who doesn't really fit on a contender as a second best player, but who currently is one and wants out. We've just never really seen it before.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be interesting to see how this situation plays out. It's basically a game of chicken at this point, like who's going to cave first. And it's, if we're being quite honest, it's Ben Simmons, right? Like, he's the one with the most to lose here. The Sixers are in the position where they could just fine him day in, day out, every day that he misses until, you know, and granted, I know, you know, money's probably not an issue. I'm sure, he's taking care of his money pretty well. but that's a lot of money to be leaving on the table. You know, so I highly doubt that's the route that he goes. You know, but we'll see how it turns out. Yep. So enough of the depressing Sixers ruining my Tuesdays. And we got a little bit of football to talk about, man. 2 weeks in, and we had a Monday night game last night. Monday night game last night. Packers beat the Lions 35-17. The Packers, who were awful week one against the Saints. Aaron Rodgers was so bad. I think it's probably the worst game he's ever played in his career in week one. And had an obvious bounce back game here against the Lions, who no one really expects to be good, but they put up a little fight early on. Packers ended up pulling away. Aaron Jones went ballistic, scored 4 touchdowns, probably saved millions of fantasy teams last night with his performance. Right. But Packers bouncing back 35-17. Do you feel a little bit better about this team, or are there still lingering concerns?
Well, I think you have to feel a little bit better. Definitely better than we were feeling after week one. This was also a really predictable result, right? So Packers, you know, we've seen this inconsistency roller coaster now for a couple of years. Would expect, which is beat the crap out of a crappy Lions team at home. Rodgers with the 4 touchdown bounce back. You know, this did not come as a surprise at all. Now, in the beginning of the game, I was a little bit worried. When the Lions were fighting, I'm checking the odds on mybookie.ag for first coach hired, because it was, you know, looking like LaFleur was going to be out the door this morning if they didn't win that game. But Rodgers stepped up like we knew he would. Probably, I don't think we actually had too many concerns about what he was going to be after week one. So they got the job done.
Yeah, it was a pretty predictable outcome. I think, you know, early on, the Lions gave him a little bit of a scare. I think kind of punched the Packers defense in the mouth, which I think is their biggest concern right now, is probably going to be the defense. I don't think you'd ever be worried about an offense with Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Jones, you know, leading it. So, that kind of thing, they'll be fine. The defense scares me a little bit. That secondary is a little shaky. I'm not going to lie. The secondary is a little bit shaky. Goff was looking really good in the first half, not so much in the second half. If this Packers team wants to get to the Super Bowl, which I'm not sure is even really within reach for them with this whole Aaron Rodgers situation, not really sure how they get over that. But if that's their goal, that defense is going to have to be a lot better than what they've been.
Yeah, it is going to have to be. Now, now the Lions offense with Goff, you know, we saw what they were able to do in the fourth quarter against the Niners last week. So it's not like we're talking about the Davis Mills Texans here, you know, but it was, if they're going to go far, if they're going to be able to stop the Tom Brady's of the NFC, that Cowboys offense in the NFC, they're going to have to get the defense straightened out. And that's been the problem with them for a decade now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So moving on to more important matters, much more important matters. Eagles take a loss to the Niners Sunday afternoon. This is a tough matchup for them to begin with. The Niners are a tough out for anybody, you know, with the defense that they have. But Eagles fall 17-11. They actually came out on fire. Jalen Hurts looked pretty good, and they looked like they were going to go up 10-0, but Jalen Reagor had an inexplicable step out of bounds on the touchdown catch that he had that ended up getting called back. Eagles settled for a field goal, and it kind of had a field goal blocked after that, and it kind of changed the trajectory of that game. What were your thoughts on Eagles-Niners matchup on Sunday?
Well, you know, I think people have kind of forgotten because of last year, but the Niners are a really good team, right? So they're in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Their record with Jimmy G is right up there with the best teams in the league. When he plays, they're one of the top teams in the league. And that defense, who had a ton of injuries last year, looks like they're going to be ready to go this year. So now, folks, focusing on comfortable back there. He had a great – one of the best throws I saw this week was him on his own goal line. Threw it about 50 yards in the air down the sideline. It was almost to a touchdown. And then they end up settling for three. So it's the red zone offense that seems like it's going to be more of an issue for him. And that's normal, right, for a young quarterback who's kind of limited. Maybe they're limited in hitting small spaces. The red zone is going to be an area where it's tougher. And that's what we saw here. This was the throw I was talking about on your screen right now. But I will say that Eagles defense, who was a defense I expected to be this year. And, I think the Eagles came in like, was a million under cap. They had basically dead money, which formula for competing. But they're able to have a big one win. I think that the NFC East, based on what I've seen so far, is a two-team race, and it's the Eagles and the Cowboys. I don't think the other two teams are going to be able to compete, especially with Heineke at quarterback for Washington, and we haven't seen anything out of the Giants. So I think the Eagles have a real chance to win, man.
Yeah, I was encouraged by the defense for sure. And actually, a lot of the reports that I was reading out of training camp was that the defense was winning most days in training camp versus the offense, which actually kind of had me concerned. But the defense has been great coming out. Only gave up 17 points to, the Niners. And granted, they're missing Mostert, and Ayuk is in this weird timeshare with Trent Sherfield or whatever. But this was an offense that put up 40 plus points against the Lions. Granted, it was the Lions, but this is obviously a good offense. Even despite my thoughts about Jimmy G, they're a good offense. They run the ball well, and defensively they're stout. They have an excellent defensive line, which I thought our offensive line actually held up well against for the most part. And I think as far as this team's performance on Sunday, as far as this team's performance goes from Sunday, Hurts looked really good early on. After that Quez Watkins throw, he was 8-for-11, 151 yards after that. And then that goal line stand where they failed to convert on fourth. They went for it, and they didn't get any points.
Tried the Philly special, right?
Yeah, they didn't get any points out of that drive. And at that point is kind of where the offense started to flutter a little bit. When they did move the ball and got into the red zone, they were stagnant. They had to settle for field goals. They ended up with one touchdown, which was the Hurts scramble late, which kind of got them back into the game. But I thought the 2-minute drill defense, where they gave up that wide open touchdown catch, to end the half, was bad. But other than that, the defense looked great. The timing was off. Like, Hurts didn't make any decisions where you're like, whoa, what is he doing? It was just kind of like he was kind of late on getting that ball out a few times. And I think when you're playing a defensive line like the Niners, they can kind of, even when they're, not getting to the quarterback, they didn't have a ton of sacks. But when they apply that, pressure, I think you can kind of force errors and mistakes that way. I think that's kind of what we saw. They were good at throwing off Hurts' timing and rhythm, which was a big thing that they had in week one against the Falcons.
Yep.
So I'm not too concerned about the Eagles. Tough loss. It wasn't a game that I was really expecting us to win. I did want to see them, keep it close and compete, but I wasn't really expecting this. I didn't think this was I thought it was a winnable game, but it's not one of those where like, man, we shot ourselves in the foot. This is a game we should have won. It was a tough matchup and could have gone either way. Eagles will be okay. I think Monday night,
yeah,
tell a lot.
Big game.
We play the Cowboys. That's going to be, which we'll talk about that game a little bit later. But like you said, yes, I agree. Those are the two best teams in the division, in my opinion. I actually still like Washington. I'm not completely out on them winning the division, but I agree that the Eagles and the Cowboys are the two best teams in this division so far.
And here's the other thing about that. It's a good point you bring up about the decision-making being just a half tick slow. And the 49ers are a great team for that to happen to. You can expect it, because what they do is, they can get home with four. We know about how great that D-line is. And then they'll just sit back in different zones And for a young quarterback who maybe, you know, especially in college, you know, he was seeing a lot of man-to-man defense, a lot of quick reads, you know, that's tough to adjust to, right? And when you have really a really good defensive line coming down your neck and you're trying to make those decisions and do that deciphering back there, it's really hard. So I'm not holding this against Jalen Hurts at all. I've still been really impressed with him on the season.
Yeah. So, yeah, for Hurts, you know, I think he's looked good so far. So far in two games, I'd probably give him like a B minus far to start to see. I thought he had an A-plus against the Falcons.
I was going to say, you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, and he wasn't bad. He actually, you know, he wasn't great with his arm, but he was great with his legs on Sunday. So, and that actually kind of kept us alive, especially late. And that's kind of, you know, I think what separates him and what will keep him alive until he really learns how to pick teams apart from the pocket. It's going to be the legs.
Yeah, I'm in on Hurts. I'm in. I got stock. I bought stock.
Me too. Lots of stock on Hurts.
Yeah,
Hurts. You know, and I think we made the right decision. Carson Wentz did not look good against the Rams. Again, good Rams defense, but also got hurt again.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Your team also took an L this week, man. Not to rub it in your face or anything, but the Raiders.
Are we talking about this? Are we talking about the Steelers on here?
The Raiders. For that the Raiders.
Yeah.
Now beaten pretty much the two best teams in the AFC North, right? I mean, I don't know if we throw the Browns in there.
Oh, definitely don't throw the Browns in there.
We're not throwing the Browns in there? Okay.
No.
Raiders, 26-17. Derek Carr's on pace to throw for 7,000 yards this season. Probably not going to happen, but he's looked really good these first two games. He was getting a lot of flack, actually, on that season opening Monday night game against the Ravens. He got off to a little slow start, but then that offense woke up, and he continued his hot start against the Steelers, and they end up coming out with a win. How concerned are you about the Steelers after this one?
Well, there's a couple different areas here of concern. The first thing that I think, you know, if TJ Watt doesn't get hurt, I really do think we win this game. There was absolutely nothing our defense could do without him. There was no pressure at all. Yeah. I mean, he was basically the sole source of pressure on the quarterback for us. And when he went down, it became easy for Derek Carr because he's just standing back there picking us apart with absolutely no pressure. So I'm not as impressed with that. I'm a little more concerned about that injury, and we'll see as we go along the week here, if he's going to play or miss extended time, that would be an absolute killer. So I'm not so worried about the defense getting carved up, because I think if TJ's there, that's totally different. The bigger point of concern for me right now is the quarterback position, Ben Roethlisberger. It is not looking great. It's actually looking quite bad, I would say, for him. You know, we talked a lot about the noodle arm last year. For him, it's basically at another level this year. I'm not sure how long we can do this with him without saying, okay, Dwayne Haskins, you're gonna have to step in, because he just cannot make the throws. And you're looking at an offense that has so much talent, right? Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju, right? Najee Harris, who played well and caught balls out of the backfield this week. The line is still questionable, but Ben just cannot make any throw that's more than 10 to 15 yards down the field. And even those throws are coming in slowly and a little wobbly. So I'm very concerned about Big Ben right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's no zip in that arm. No. There's nothing there. His deep balls are lollipop passes almost. And, you know, like you said, with the weapons that you have, it kind of makes Chase Claypool, who I think is your best deep threat, right? You know, he's a big, physical, fast guy. It kind of limits him. It makes it tough for him to get involved in the game, because that's kind of what you expect out of him. You know, Juju's your slot guy. Deontay's kind of your, mid route guy. Those medium routes who can also, you know, make deep catches, but he kind of is your whole field guy.
Yeah.
And then Chase is your guy, you know, that takes the lid off of the defense. You know what I mean? And if you don't have the ability to hit him, or if defenses don't fear you being able to hit those deep balls, it makes it much tougher. And then you combine that with how bad this offensive line is.
Oh, it's bad.
And how Ben has no mobility. He can't really move. He's not the old Ben who could get out of the pocket and make some plays with his feet. Those days are over. If he's running, it looks like he has two broken knees and asthma when he's scrambling. Like he's struggling to get out of that pocket with a bad offensive line. Yeah. That's a recipe for, hey, let's stack the box. Don't let them run the ball. Don't let Najee Harris get going. Take away these short throws. We can rush for. I don't think you need to blitz a team like this, and then see if he can make those plays over top. And I think that's going to be tough if he can't do that. And I don't love Dwayne Haskins, who I guess is second quarterback. But I mean, if Dwayne Haskins can at least get the ball down the field, I think at some point, if it gets that bad, I'm not sure it will. I think maybe there's some things you could still do to kind of mask his weaknesses. But if it gets that bad, you might have to turn to Haskins to even hope to have a chance, or at least see what you have in Haskins as a future replacement.
Yeah, it's probably never going to happen. As long as there's a chance we're going to make the playoffs, Ben is going to be in there. Just because that's, he's been there 18 years now. So now, and I will say this, I'm not overly concerned with the loss. So if you want the Tomlin Ben era in a nutshell, a 5-second summary is you beat the Bills on the road in week one and you lose to the Raiders at home in week two. That is the perfect, summary of the Mike Tomlin Big Ben era. They consistently have done this with home disappointments and huge road wins. So, they play up to their competition. They play down to their competition. The problem is when you play down to your competition and you lose a TJ Watt injury and you lose a Trey Turner on your offensive line to ejection, which I disagree with that ejection.
Terrible ejection.
It's a recipe for a disaster, and that's exactly what we saw. You cannot continue to take weeks off almost. And they're not taking the week off, obviously, but the preparation clearly is different when it's a big-time game and a big-time opponent, or it's a home game against a so-so opponent. It's been this way for 15 years. And, you take the wins, the good with the bad with these guys, but that's why I'm not overly concerned, because I had a feeling they were going to do this, right? I thought they were going to win, but in my pick'em pool where I have to pick every game, I took the Raiders plus the 5.5 because you just knew it was going to be at least close. And then when you add in the injuries and the ejection, this is what happens.
Yep. So, I also had Raiders plus 5.5. So thank your boys for the extra cash in the pocket this week. Are we in on the Raiders 2-0, two AFC North wins? Are we in on the Raiders and Derek Carr, or are we kind of waiting for them to flatline?
No, we're in for them to flatline.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this is a typical Raider Gruden start, right? Come on hot. And then eventually they'll go back to where they should once they start running into the Chiefs. I don't even think they're the second best team in their division. I'm convinced the Chargers are still better. They might be the worst team in that division right now, actually. So I think give it time and they'll come back to earth.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm not buying it. I'm not buying any shares on the Raiders just yet. I still need to see a little bit more before I fall in love with them.
Yep.
Agree with you there. Another NFC North team had a tough matchup. Cowboys ended up beating the Chargers. Zerline saved somebody's job, maybe.
Legatron.
With a huge clutch field goal late to give the Cowboys a 2017 win. A Cowboys offense, which, passing game, I should say, didn't look great. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott really kind of struggled in this one. Against the so-so. Thoughts here? Are you worried about the Cowboys and after 2 weeks sitting at 1-1?
Well, I'm not worried about the Cowboys per se, especially because it's only going to take 8-9 to win their division probably. And I think that they're better than that now. But I mean, listen, this is a good win. I mean, now it was a home game for them, basically, based on the, you know, the people in the crowd. But the Chargers are a good team, I think, you know, and to keep Herbert in that offense, which actually is a pretty high-powered offense, to 17 points is kind of a point of emphasis, maybe, if we're the Cowboys, and if we're a Cowboy fan looking at this, like, wow, like, we got some stops here. Like, maybe we're not just going to have to, you know, win shootouts every week, which I think was kind of the plan coming into the year, which I could see the concern there. We're coming in with a Dak Prescott coming off injury. You know, you don't want to be in a shootout every week. But to win a game like this on the road where it's kind of a, you know, you get punched in the mouth a little bit. It's you know, maybe your coach isn't the smartest guy in the world, but you overcome him. I think it's a good win for the Cowboys. I don't think this is a win where you say, well, we still should have played better. It shouldn't have been this close. I think you go and you take the win and you run and you move on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this was kind of a weird game. If I'm being quite honest, this was one where I thought it was going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
What we thought would be great offenses. The Cowboys were great in week one. Offensively, they were perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I would say for the most part. Chargers offense has gotten off to a slow start. Only 20 points in week one. 17 points here in week two. Herbert hasn't been terrible, but like two touchdowns and three interceptions. Like he's not really putting the ball in the end zone. Hasn't been great, you know, following a really good rookie season. Mm-hmm. You know, and he wasn't spectacular in this one. 31 for 41, 338 yards. That part looks great, but one touchdown, two interceptions. You know, so not loving the start for Justin Herbert and this Chargers offense. But I agree with your sentiment as like the Cowboys defense does look better, which they expected. Like they spent, that was their entire offseason was spent on improving this defense. And I think it's paid off a little bit so far. I don't think it's going to be a stout defense or anything like that because they're still relatively young on that side of the ball. I think Micah Parsons is an incredible talent, but still has a lot to learn. You know, and kind of got exposed a little bit against the Bucs. But they look really good here in defensively in week two. I don't know what happened with the clock management there at the end of the fourth before the field goal. I thought they could have got a whole extra play, maybe even two.
Yeah, they could.
You know, to get a little closer. Legatron kind of bailed them out, I think.
Yes, he did.
And we might be having a different conversation if this Cowboys team sitting at 2-0 after an overtime loss or something like that. But hey,
1-1. McCarthy's probably gone.
If he's not gone, he's on the hottest seat in the league, probably. You know, so interesting start to the season for the Cowboys. We'll see how it pans out for them. Excited about the offense. Encouraged by the defense, the running back situation.
I was going to say, that's exactly what I was about to bring up. Pollard is probably better than Zeke, right?
Are we ready to say that yet? Are we on the Pollard bandwagon?
I was saying this last year that Pollard's better than him. He just looks better when Zeke runs it and when Pollard runs it, Pollard looks better. He's quicker. He hits the hole faster. Now, obviously, Zeke can, you know, shed tackles probably better than him.
Yeah.
And between the tackles, maybe you want him goal line, you want him. But, you know, for the style of the offense that they want to play, which is built mostly around Dak and is built around, they have three really good receivers. So they look to spread it out a little bit. I would think Pollard fits better with what they're going with. I'm not saying he's a better running back, but he fits better.
Right. I like both of them, and I think they make probably one of the best running back duos in the league.
I agree.
You know, I think that's what we saw on Sunday. Zeke is kind of like their power back, so, you know, short yarded situations and between the tackle stuff, your dives and things like that. They really went towards Zeke, and that with Zach Martin back, they were able to get a little more push there, and Zeke looked a lot better than he did against the Bucs. The Bucs defensive line is one of the best in the league, first of all, and then you take off Zach Martin, really hard to run between the tackles when you don't have you know, your best offensive lineman essentially in that guard spot. So it was great to have him back, and I think Zeke looked a lot better because of it. Goal line work should definitely still go to Zeke, but I love how they're using Pollard. It's not just like you know, he spells Zeke on third downs or certain drives. Like, they use him in the slot, bring him in motion. They're running, mm-hmm. like, these little reverses or jet sweeps for him. They're using him as a pass catcher as well. And mostly, typically, he's getting a lot of the outside runs, trying to get him to the edge because he certainly has more speed than Zeke. That's not really even an argument. So it's kind of like, I think they kind of make a perfect duo. Zeke's still a good pass catcher, so it's not really super predictable when he's in the game that they're going to run the ball. You know, he's not that kind of back yet to where he's, you know, just straight. When he gets in, he's running a dive,
right,
and that's
right,
it. Right? It's not to that point. I think they have a legitimate good timeshare of two high quality backs. I'd love to see Tony Pollard as a, you know, his own back.
He's your back, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like
last year when Zeke was for that time.
When Zeke was out, he was the feature back. I'd love to see him in that role more consistently. You know, because he's explosive, man. He is. Yeah. And I like how they've kind of weaponized him here as like a, you know, a little slot receiver slash backup running back. They're getting some good production out of him, and that's gonna make this offense more dynamic than it already was.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so number there is wrong. They actually ended up beating the Chiefs 36-35.
Yep.
Chiefs had a late chance to take the lead, and a terrible Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble pretty much ruined it. And then John Harbaugh with a gutsy call on fourth down to run with Lamar Jackson, get him the first, and pretty much seal the deal there. This was an exciting game to watch. Lamar Jackson was off to a terrible start and then really got his legs under him, you know, and got this offense moving and beat the Chiefs in a shootout, which most teams cannot do. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how impressed were you with Lamar Jackson's performance Sunday night?
Well, I would say a 7.5, 8. And the only reason it's not a 9.5, 10 is because of those two interceptions in the first quarter there, Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
Ignoring those, right, and just looking at this from really like the second quarter on, the Chiefs couldn't do anything with that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it was running and it was passing. He had the Tebow jump pass to Hollywood Brown, who I think Hollywood Brown is also kind of coming into his own finally.
Yes, he is.
And they're finding ways to use him, which had been a struggle for the past 2 years. So, you know, I was really impressed with Lamar. Now, you mentioned the fumble. It's kind of, you know, one of the points of football and part of the reason we love it so much and part of the reason we get so frustrated as fans is because it's so fickle, right? The turnover battle, one way or the other, can end up changing seasons. And if he doesn't fumble there, the Chiefs probably go win the game. And we're probably having the same conversations about Lamar Jackson, that he can't beat these really good teams. But that's not how it went. Instead, he fumbled. It was a great play by that Ravens defender. Terrible fumble. And a huge, you mentioned ballsy. Like, yeah, I would say it was pretty ballsy in your own territory to say, we're going to go for it. And the beautiful thing was he kept the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands, right? So instead of saying, which could have easily been, this could have easily been interpreted as, if we punt it here, I don't trust we can get a stop because we've given up 35 points. You could have easily interpreted it that way. I might have interpreted it that way when the decision was made. But when you do that and you keep the ball in Lamar Jackson's hand and you go full steam ahead and you say, here, did I lose you, Coop?
No, I can hear you now. Oh, now you're on mute. Yeah. Lost your sound again.
There, you can hear me now, Coop.
Yeah.
So when you take a situation where it could have easily been, we don't trust our defense because we've given up 35 points, and if we punt it, we're still going to give up a score here. And you flip it to, well, we have Lamar Jackson. You cannot stop him. You haven't been able to stop him all night. So I'm going to go for it and go full steam ahead with him. It changes the narrative completely of that call to now where it's Harbaugh has such faith in Lamar Jackson that he went for it on fourth down in his own territory, where if you don't get it, basically the game is over and you lose. So got to give credit where it's due. I like to hate on Lamar Jackson. I do that a lot, but I'm going to give props right now. He had a great game last night.
You know, he did have a great game on both ends. This Chiefs defense can't stop the run to save their lives. And I think that's going to be the one thing that kind of keeps them from winning it all. If there's anything that can keep this team from winning it all, it's their inability to stop the run. Now, you know, this is one of the best rushing offense. Maybe we take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. But it was definitely a concern if you're a Chiefs fan or supporter. But when it comes to the Ravens, you know, it was kind of for Lamar through these first two games, it's kind of been like two opposite players we've seen. He started off great against the Raiders and then hit kind of a wall, I thought, offensively. This time he came out really bad through the first pick. I don't really blame him for. Sammy Watkins fell. He was still an off-target throw, but I'm not sure it's a pick if Sammy Watkins doesn't fall. And I'm not sure the throw's off-target if Sammy Watkins doesn't fall. But the second one was just like he got fooled post-snap. You know, it was just clear, you know, that the Chiefs fooled him there. And then after that, he kind of settled in and took this game over with both his legs and his arms. He had that incredible jump pass to Hollywood, a terrible coverage breakdown, but he's, you know, pocket collapsing on it. He just gets it out as he can. You know, we saw all of his athleticism on display Sunday night. For the Chiefs, you know, and that last drive that they have, this is why I'm not a big fan of settling for the field goal once you get down there, right? Like, as you can see on your screen, Clyde getting stripped. First of all, I'm not sure how he fumbled this ball. Owe barely gets a hand in there. I'm not sure there's any reason for Clyde not to – there's no reason for Clyde to fumble here, for one. Probably. That's the only thing I can think of. But my thing is, you know, for a guy like Mahomes to be on a roll that he was on, just that drive alone, like he was incredible the entire game. But just on that drive alone, they're moving the ball. You kind of take the ball out of his hands. To me, that's not a great idea, in my opinion. I know you're in field goal range. You don't want to like turn the ball over, but I think you have a good enough quarterback, I think, to where you can kind of say, I trust him not to make a stupid decision and we can still get a field goal from here. Obviously, we want to get a few yards, but like, design short passes. Keep the ball in Mahomes' hands somehow, some way, to where, you know, he's still giving you a chance to even get a touchdown maybe. That's why I'm a big proponent of, listen, play the drive out. Even when you get in the field goal range, play the drive out, try to score. And then if you don't score, then settle for your field goal because you're in field goal range. I think last night they got, I wouldn't say too cute, but they took that strategy that most people take where, you know, they got in the field goal range, they wanted to be safe, and I think it backfired on them. And the Ravens did the exact opposite on the other end. You know, Chiefs did a good job. They got their three stops, their three timeouts. And I think what we saw was something beautiful from John Harbaugh. He, after the third down stop, he takes a couple steps onto the field. He's calling Lamar. He says, do you want to go for it? And Lamar says, yes. He said, all right, let's go for it. No hesitation whatsoever. You know what I mean? Like a coach like that, listening to his players, especially his leader, who's the one that's out there. You know, he obviously, I think he wanted to go for it in the first place.
That's what I was going to say, right? Like if he's like, I'm going to punt, or if he's not like, I want to go for it, he's not going to ask Lamar to go.
And that's probably fair, but I like when a coach takes his players thoughts into consideration, you know what I mean? Into his decision-making, because if Lamar wasn't comfortable going for it, then maybe you got to make a different decision, you know? But with the way they were running the ball, fourth and short, I actually thought it was kind of a no-brainer with the way they were running the ball all night. The Chiefs hadn't stopped a short yardage run, a long yardage run. They hadn't stopped the run all night. Mm-hmm. Why not put it in your best player's hands, run, do what you've been doing all night, and keep it out of their best player's hands? Because if you ask me, you give Mahomes a second shot to beat you or to get back into field goal range, even with no timeouts, he would have had about 50 seconds left. That's enough time, I think, for Mahomes to get them in the field goal range. I mean, they moved in the field goal range in almost that amount of time before the fumble. So I don't think I'm taking the chance on Mahomes touching that thing again, because either way, he's getting back in the field goal range, whether we, you know, whether we punt it or whether we don't convert on fourth down, that ball's getting back in the field goal range and we're losing. So put it in your best player's hands, do what worked for you all night. And that was a recipe for success for the Ravens, who got a much needed week two win. They would have been in big trouble if they would have fell to 0-2 here.
Oh, well, yeah, it would have been huge. Now, it's not like they would have been out of it or anything, you know, this early. But I think they're starting to view their season a little bit differently now. This win will just, I think, is going to be huge for them, for their confidence, for who they view themselves as, this team that's kind of gotten beat up by the best teams in the league the past couple of years. Yeah. You beat the Chiefs, and suddenly you learn to respect yourself a little differently.
Absolutely. So that wraps it up. Oh, one more thing before we wrap up our week two discussion. Biggest surprises and disappointments. Let's start with disappointments. Could be players, could be teams. Who's disappointed you the most so far in the first couple of weeks?
Well, and this isn't even one player per se, but I want to talk about this entire QB class that we've seen so far. And it's only been 2 weeks, right? So I'm not writing any of these guys off. But just to kind of go down the list, we've had Zach Wilson now, who has looked very Johnny Manziel-ish to me. You know, absolutely was just terrible this week. Maybe we should have expected that against Bill Belichick. He always kills rookie QBs. He doesn't always kill them like this, but he always kills rookie QBs. So he hasn't looked great. Lawrence, who, you know, I cut him some slack this week because he was in a monsoon basically down there in Jacksonville. The arm strength didn't seem to be there. Again, he was in a monsoon, so I'm not totally writing him off, but it hasn't been what we thought anyway. You know, Mac Jones has probably looked the best, but he's mostly just playing game manager. You know, he's not doing anything spectacular. You know, you could watch the highlight reel from the Patriots game. You could watch the 15-minute extended highlights that NFL does on YouTube, and you might see one or two Mac Jones throws. He's not really, you know, doing anything. And then Justin Fields is kind of the biggest question mark here for me, because I honestly think he's looked the best when he came in for Andy Dalton this week. He looked like he knew how to throw a football better than any of the other rookies did. So maybe he will. But I'm still a little bit concerned with this rookie class so far.
I agree. Trevor Lawrence was on my biggest disappointments list.
There you go.
You know, for someone who was supposed to be like the best prospect since Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, you know, he has not lived up to it. And, you know, it's only 2 weeks in, so I'm not going to call him a bust. And also, he's playing for Urban Meyer, who I'm not sure is an NFL head coach, if I'm being quite honest. I'm not sure he's built for this. You know, whatever. We'll talk about him later. But on another day. But, you know, he hasn't really popped. You know what I mean? There hasn't been moments where I'm like, wow. Like, you know, he's struggling, but, like, that guy is the next generational talent at the position. You know what I mean? Like, he has not – through preseason or regular season, he has not shown me that. He hasn't wowed me yet for someone who had such high praise. And, you know, I have to wonder what's kind of causing that. You know, you can kind of blame Urban Meyer if you want, but even – you know, even with that, I think you still have to have some question marks about Trevor Lawrence. I never loved Zach Wilson.
No.
You know, and he looks worse than Sam Darnold looked with the Jets, which that was my thing. I was like, listen, it's not that I hate Zach Wilson. My question was, if you're moving on from Sam Darnold, who was the number three pick just a couple of years ago, is he that much better than Sam Darnold? Like, are we sure? Because I'm not.
Well, it was one of the weirdest draft processes ever because the whole year it was Lawrence and Fields, Lawrence and Fields, Lawrence and Fields.
Yeah.
And then just one day it was like, yeah, Jets are, minds are made up. Number two, they're going Wilson. And we just all accepted it. And we're like, okay, why?
Yeah, and I don't think we question that enough. Like, I think Fields and Lance are were better prospects than Sam Darnold. That bare minimum, you could say those guys have much more upside than Sam Darnold did, right? There's no way you can definitively say Zach Wilson is right now better or potentially better than what Sam Darnold could be. And that's where, like, that's why losing franchises continue to be losing franchises, if you ask me. Like, you can't draft a guy so high, surround him with absolutely nothing, like from offensive line, coaching. He had one of the worst coaches in the leagues in Adam Gase and whatnot. No offensive line, no real weapons, no running game. And then be like, yeah, this isn't our guy. How could you know that? You know what I mean? Like, and then you're just going to repeat the same process with Zach Wilson. Watch, in 2 years, we're going to be having this same discussion about Zach Wilson. The Jets are going to be bailing on him because they don't think he's the guy either. And you're just wasting number two overall picks. Build your roster before you get the QB. And at least the Jaguars, you know, say what you want about the Jags, at least they have some talent around it. You got to like DJ Chark, LaVisca Chenault. Don't love how they're using him, but Chenault's talented. Marvin Jones Jr. is good. You know, you got James Robinson, who they're not using correctly. I blame Urban Meyer for that as well. And then Travis Etienne is unfortunately out for the season. Another talented player. So, like, Trevor Lawrence, bare minimum, has weapons. They did address the offensive line a little bit. I expect them to do that more going forward. Like, the Jags have a sense of direction, despite how bad they look. We expected them to be bad. Yeah. But they have some sense of direction. The Jets are just repeating the same cycle of garbage that they put Sam Darnold through. And Sam Darnold now is looking pretty good in Carolina. We've had our own debates about him.
He's coming up here, buddy.
Yeah. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But, you know, it's just this rookie class, like you said, it has been underwhelming. Mac Jones is what I expected of him so far. Zach Wilson looks terrible. Trey Lance, we haven't gotten really to see anything but like one red zone possession from him. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields came in relief. He looked okay. Like he looked good, but like numbers didn't stand out. I'd like to see him as a full game as a starter, which we might get to see this week on Thursday when they play the Texans. I would love to see Justin Fields get an opportunity there, but, we'll see they play Sunday. But we'll see how that pans out, in that case. And, the rookie class has absolutely been disappointing. How about Josh Allen? Not in love with Josh Allen. Listen, I expected regression because, last year he was so good. Like, there's no way the numbers he put up were sustainable. So I did expect regression. I didn't expect this much. And now they won 35-0, and maybe, I'm being harsh. After a 35-0 win.
Are you?
But yeah, like, am I?
I mean, again, I think that was in a monsoon as well. So the Florida games were tough to judge this week.
True.
But I noticed the same thing about Josh Allen. I noticed the same thing in week one about him. And this week, the accuracy that we saw last year is not there right now.
No,
and maybe we should have came in expecting that when we have a guy who improved that particular part of his game so much last year. Maybe we should have been looking at that as a possible outlier. But, with that being said, last year it was a similar start for Josh Allen and the Bills. They started this way as well. So they might be able to do a 180. Again, they won the game like 35-0. So can't really complain too much about him. But I've noticed that as well from him.
Yeah. To start the season, 56% completion percentage, back down to where he was prior to last year, 449 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, passer rating of 70. Not a great start for someone who I did expect a little bit of regression, but we'll see.
Yeah.
On this season.
Did you ask me for a surprise?
Yeah. Any surprises this year so far?
I wanted to bring up Sam Darnold, and mostly this just has to do with how he played this week against the Saints. You know, it wasn't like he was throwing dots down the field or anything, but he played really well. He controlled that game from start to finish. And the Panthers did something that they haven't done in quite some time, and that was really handle the Saints. So now you're looking at the Panthers, who are 2-0. Kind of a surprise team so far. I don't know how this is, you know, I don't think this is a playoff team per se, but if McCaffrey stays healthy and if Darnold keeps playing the way he does, I really like Matt Rhule's system. It seems like he's got really good guys in there. Another team that spent money on defense this year, understood where the needs were and tried to address it. So I don't think this is a team that ends up in the playoffs or winning that division over Tampa, certainly not. But it's been really nice to see Sam Darnold perform well after all those miserable years in New York.
Yep, and you know this is precisely why you put some talent around a QB before you judge him.
Sure.
You know, and he's looked good. Not great, but good. Very good. You know, he has plenty of weapons. It's not a super tough job to get the ball to DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Terrace Marshall Jr., Christian McCaffrey.
Good guys.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He's got plenty of weapons surrounding him. They got a good offensive line. You know, maybe you get him a better defense, and then you're looking at a playoff contending team. But Panthers definitely trending in the right direction.
Well, if nothing else, we've learned that he's definitely better than Teddy Bridgewater.
I don't know about that. Teddy's been great these first couple of weeks. We're going to have that debate on here one day. Maybe next week we'll have that debate. But they both have looked good so far.
Yeah.
It's numbers wise, they're very close.
Is it close?
Very close. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So that's enough. That covers. We'll talk about here. We'll talk about some of our faves. We'll start with yours. Steelers versus Bengals. Big Ben taking on Joe Burrow and a young Bengals team that's gotten off to a rocky start here, 1-1. They didn't look good against the Bears, who have a pretty good defense, so not super concerned. But who you got in this one, Steelers or Bengals?
I got the Steelers. I think it's a similar story for Joe Burrow and that offense against the Steelers defense. You know, assuming TJ Watt is there, that's going to be huge. The Steelers typically beat up on the Bengals. This has been a recurring theme for my entire life now that we beat up on the Bengals. So yeah. I don't think it's going to be a problem. You know, bounce back. That's another Mike Tomlin specialist. He'll lose a bad game and they bounce back big. So I think the Steelers will be fine this week.
Yeah, this is actually an excellent matchup for the Steelers. Bad offensive line, so a healthy TJ Watt will probably have a field day. A little concerned about Joe Burrow, if I'm being honest, coming off a knee injury. But the Bengals offense has looked good for the most part, other than most of, you know, this second week. They've got three stud young-ish as far as Tyler Boyd's concerned, but three good receivers. So I think this Bengals team has a lot of upside. They're not ready to beat the Steelers team yet. I don't think they quite have all the pieces. I think it'll be a rough game for the Bengals, probably double-digit win for the Steelers here. I'm going to take the Steelers as well. Battle of the Undefeateds, Tampa Bay versus Los Angeles. Matt Stafford probably gets his first real test as the Rams' new QB. Who are you taking in this one?
I'm going with Tampa here because I think that defense is still better than the Rams, although this might be the battle of the two best defenses and two best teams in the NFC. This will probably be the game of the week, right? This has to be the game that everyone's going to be watching because probably getting possibly an NFC championship preview here. Stafford has looked good. He's kind of slid right in with what they expected out of him and the Goff upgrade that they needed. But Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the league right now. I don't know if anybody's noticing, the 44-year-old is about to go win an MVP. So I got the Bucks here still. I think they're going to be really tough to beat this year.
Yeah, I'm still taking the Bucks. I think this will be the first time that the Rams see a little chink in their armor offensively. I think they've looked great. And I think if Daryl Henderson's out, that's probably I think that makes their chances a little bit worse. Not that I super love Daryl Henderson, but Sony Michel, I don't think, is fully caught up on the offense and the playbook. So I don't think he's really ready to be their feature back for a full game. So we'll see what happens with Daryl Henderson, because that could be a pretty big factor. Also, the Rams like to play off of the run. They like to run and then get their play action game going. Buccaneers are one of the worst teams to run against. You know, that's one of the toughest front sevens in the league, probably the toughest front seven in the league. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Matt Stafford has to throw it a lot for the first time in a new, you know, system. So we'll see, you know, how that goes. I'm taking the Bucks as well. I think it's going to be really close, though. I think this is going to be a good one, but I'm going to take the Bucks probably by a field goal.
Reports of Matt Stafford being racist. Your thoughts?
I did not see those reports.
Oh, yeah, he threw to Cooper Kupp like 15 times. He doesn't throw to Robert Woods anymore.
Yo, you know what? You have problems, my friend. Listen. I'm like, what? Listen, I'm on Twitter all the time. Mike's not even on Twitter. If there were ever a place to find that information, it'd be
right.
17-year-old tweets from Matt Stafford. Good one. Listen, Cooper Kupp looks incredible.
Yeah, he's good. Well, he was the best receiver on that team before he got hurt in 2019.
Yeah, he's been their best receiver. They're like scheming to get him open now, like to the point where like they're making him like the focal point of the offense.
So maybe McVay's the racist.
Yeah, Robert Woods is not being phased out, but like he doesn't seem to have as big as a role as he used to. I also kind of like their rotation of Van Jefferson and DeSean Jackson, giving them some deep threats. Yeah, that offense looks good, though. And Cooper Kupp, he's the reason I lost to Crystal in fantasy this week. I'm not super happy with him. But,
I guess he's okay. Crazy.
Yeah. Last but certainly not least, Monday Night Football Showdown. Two NFC East rivals, my Eagles, Bird Gang, versus the Cowgirls. I mean, this is an easy one, right? Eagles by 20, 30, maybe.
Yeah, 25. So this is a really good one for us because we're both united for this hate for the Cowboys, right? Steeler fan, yeah. Eagles fan. We both hate the Cowboys. And I cheer for the Eagles as well, kind of as like a second team. This is in Dallas?
In Dallas, yep.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys win. This one, if it was in Philly, I'd probably take the Eagles. I think that it's going to be that type of a matchup for these two this year. But I think this is the NFC East competition right now. It's Eagles, Cowboys, and they're probably going to split their matchup, the home team winning both times. So I'm going to say Cowboys by a field goal to a touchdown, one score game, though.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a close one. I actually think it's going to be a shootout as well. I'm going to take the Eagles, though.
I'm shocked.
To get multiple stops in this game, I trust our defense to do that more than I trust.
Yeah.
But I still think we have a good enough defensive front and pass rush to kind of. Will play a huge part. I'm going to take the Eagles by three.
Okay. I can respect that. I'm not surprised at all that you're taking the Eagles. but I think that they can do it. I think that you mentioned the defense. Like, it's been pretty impressive so far. So,
yeah.
Good Monday Night Football matchup.
Agreed. That one will be a good one. All right. So, to close out today's show, you want to go rapid fire, pick them week three? Each game,
yes.
Week three?
Yes. No rationale, just teams.
Rapid fire. All right, we'll start with Thursday night, Panthers, Texans.
Panthers, Davis Agreed. Mills.
Agreed, taking the Panthers there. Bills, Washington football team.
Bills.
I'm going to take the Bills as well, although I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Bears, Browns.
Browns. I think it's Browns.
Browns, okay.
Yeah, they take care of bad teams at home.
Yeah, true. Ravens, Lions.
Ravens.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Colts, Titans.
So it depends on Wentz. Actually, it doesn't. I'll take the Titans either way.
I think by the margin.
If it's not Wentz.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I think the margin matters. I think they keep it the Colts keep it really close if Wentz is healthy. If not, yeah, I'm going to take the Titans. They're 5-point favorites right now. I'd probably take the over on. I'd probably take the Titans to cover.
Yes.
Chargers, Chiefs.
Good matchup. Probably the second best matchup this week after that Rams Bucks. I'll go with the Chiefs at home. Bounce back.
I'm also going to take the Chiefs as well. Saints, Patriots.
Oh,
both 1-1.
That is a nice matchup. I'm going to go with the Patriots here. I think the running game is really good for them. And Jameis, now I'm confused. You know, I fell in love with you, now I hate you. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints. Okay. Simply because Jameis had a bad week last week, so he's got to have a good one this week.
He's got to, right? That's how he works. Yeah,
that's how he works. So
that's really good logic.
Yeah, their defense is really good too. So I'm going to take the Saints in this one. I think Mac Jones struggles a bit with that Saints defense. Falcons, Giants, 2-0-2 teams.
I'm going to go with the Giants, and the wheels of the Falcons continue to fall off.
Whew, this is a tough one, man. These are like two teams that I don't love either. I don't like either of them at all. I'm going to take the Falcons, though. Like that.
Well,
Giants,
they're both going to try to lose, right?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I trust Matt Ryan more than I trust Daniel Jones, who's actually been okay, right, to start the season. Yeah, especially on Thursday night, he was good, but. Yeah, I'm going to take the Falcons. I'm going to go opposite of you again.
Okay.
Cardinals, Jaguars.
Yeah, got to be the Cardinals. Jags are a mess right now.
Cardinals by a million. Yeah. Jets, Broncos.
Broncos. Same thing about the Jaguars applies to the Jets.
Agreed there. Dolphins, Raiders.
That's actually a really good matchup. Unsure what's going on with Tua, right? So we don't know if he's playing or not. I'm going to take the Raiders at home.
I am also going to take the Raiders. I like their chances better with Tua. Not that I don't like Jacoby Brissett, but obviously Tua's QB1. Yeah. I think that matters. I'm going to take the Raiders to stay undefeated. Seahawks, Vikings. Vikings need to get back on track 0-2. Tough loss Sunday, by the way.
I'm going to go with the Vikings here. Because I think that the type of team they are is the team to win one just to stay in it, but really they're going to be out of it this year. It's been a rough start for them. They should have probably won on Sunday against the Cardinals. So I'm going to take them to win at home.
Yeah, definitely should have won on Sunday. Kicker missed a terrible field goal at the end there. I'm also going to take the Vikings. I think Seahawks really struggled against Derrick Henry this week. Now they got Dalvin Cook coming into town. I think he's going to be healthy for that game. Yeah, that's not a recipe for success. So I'm taking the Vikings there as well. And then last but not least, Sunday Night Football, Packers, Niners. That should be a good one. Who you got there?
That is a good one. I'm going to go with the Niners at home. That defense is going to be really good. And the running back situation is getting murky for them. But I'm not sure that Green Bay is going to be able to stop that offense.
You know, Green Bay's defense has looked shaky for the first six quarters of this season. But that Niners running back situation is so bad.
Yeah.
And I don't love Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm going to take the Packers here. I think the Packers need a win. Falling to 1-2 would not be good for that locker room. I'm going to take the Packers here in an upset, but it's going to be close. That's a tough one. I think Packers in a close one.
Rodgers plays well in Cali.
He really does, yeah. You know, it's his home state. They seem to got something going there rhythm-wise. 49ers' best corner is also down, Verrett. I'm not sure if it's a long-term injury or not. I think it was last I checked, but without him, how do they handle Davante Adams? So yeah, I'm gonna go with the Packers in that one. I think they keep their streak going a little bit. All right. Well, guys, we appreciate you tuning in to our season 3 debut. This is episode 73 of the All In Podcast. Back at it once again. Hey, guys, don't forget, you can follow us on all social media. For Twitter, we're at @all_in_pod. It's just All In Network on Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you've been watching us on YouTube. Or if you are listening to the audio podcast, make sure you head over to youtube.com/allinnetwork and subscribe to our channel. And make sure you guys turn on post notifications. Yes. That way you know when we go live, when new episodes post. So make sure you guys get those turned on. But make sure you follow us on Twitter as well. This week we'll be doing a little game or week 3 pick 'em, kind of like me and Mike just did here on the show. We'll be running some polls, have some fun voting in those and see, you know, who gets the best results. Also, All In Politics just dropped a new episode last week, their season 3 debut. So make sure you guys check that out. We had a great discussion about the Central York School Board situation. If you haven't heard about that, read up on it. They luckily reversed that little book ban last night. So some progress being made to people who organize in the community. So shout out to everybody, man, who spoke up and spoke out, especially the kids at Central York who spoke up and spoke out against, you know, that ridiculous book ban that was going on there. So make sure you tune into that All In Politics episode to learn more about that. But once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode. Signing off, Mike.
See you next week, people. Yes, sir.
Have a good one, y'all.